Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Fellas, welcome back.
Donnie.
Walt, what's going on?
Living the dream, you know? Had a real good weekend.
I've missed you, big guy.
I've missed you guys, yeah.
We haven't seen you for a while besides these casts and stuff, and yeah. It's been weird.
I'd like to see you guys three-dimensionally as well. It'd be nice.
Yeah. And
we got some things coming up that I'm assuming, well, I'm not, I shouldn't assume, but I hope I'm going to be at some tryouts and see the kids and see what's going on. So that's good for me.
Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit later, but yeah, lots of stuff going on there. How was your weekend, bud?
I'm glad you asked, Tosh.
Yeah,
it was a very good weekend for the U19 Liners. We won the GPLS League and going into provincials on a bit of a roll, which is exciting. Can't ask to be playing any better ball at the end of the year, so that's good.
Yeah, very nice. Any big performances?
Indeed, there was. Thank you for asking again.
Yes, well.
Twos alumni Sophie Kreese had an ERA of 1 in 3 games and threw the ball really well. Was dominant for us for sure, and that's what we need her to be. Taylor Farr was fantastic behind the plate. Hitters, Braille Savage was smashing the ball. Yeah, another Twos alum. Yeah, so we had a really strong weekend, played really well defensively, and it was good. You couldn't have asked for them to play any better. So it was awesome.
Not only Twos alumni, but Melford roots, eh?
There's 6 degrees of separation to Melford always. It's
pretty much,
yeah.
They used to have that gas station right on the corner when you drove in, right by the old water towel.
Shell station. Yeah, right there.
Well, thanks for asking, though.
Here's a funny story. Mel Savage, great guy, by the way. That would be Braille's grandpa. Fired me, actually.
Is there a funny story there?
One of my first jobs was working for Mel, for Mr. Savage, and it was awesome, pumping gas and stuff. But you know when you check oil and then you put some oil in and whatever else. I don't know a lot about cars, so I knew even less back then.
You're not supposed to pump the oil and check the gas, you know?
Yeah. No. Okay. No, check the oil, needed some oil. Actually, I think the guy said, can you top her up? So I did. Put the oil in. Awesome. And filled his tank up. Fantastic. It was great.
Forgot to
put the cap back on the oil.
Ooh.
So it's all over the inside of it, all over the engine and stuff, right?
Was that the straw?
I don't think that was the straw, but I'm sure it was probably cracked for sure. Yeah. I don't think it broke, but it cracked for sure. So yes, they had a Shell station for a long time.
There's a movie, Tommy Boy, where they fill up at a gas station and they leave the oil can right in, and it makes the hood fly off, and hilarity ensues, Tosh. So maybe they got the inspiration from your incident.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Tommy Boy. I didn't like Tommy Boy at all.
What?
That's hard to believe, like actually. It. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tommy Boy?
No, I didn't like it. I didn't like Tommy Boy. What was the other? There was an Adam Sandler movie, too.
More than one, yeah.
No, it was terrible. Can't remember the one. My brother and I went to it. It was awful. Anyways. Okay, we're digressing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dino, provincials this weekend, hey?
Amazing. Was that not so much fun?
It was so fun just to walk around the park and just watch all of our Twos kids play and talk to parents. Yeah, it was so good to just go watch ball and not have any – there was no responsibilities, just kind of watched. It was awesome.
Yeah. No. So U12, starting in the U12s, they were up in PA.
Yeah.
And it was Meadow Lake and Melford in the final, and Meadow Lake came out on top.
Wow.
So Meadow Lake, I got an opportunity to go work with them a little bit. So it was fun to see their team.
Time out. We're going to get text messages from Kirk. It's not Melford.
I'm sorry.
It's the Spirit.
Spirit. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Kirk, don't text me.
Can I interrupt for a quick second?
Yeah.
Good. I know it's unfortunate for the Spirit program, but good to see a town the size of Meadow Lake competing at that level and putting a team in and winning. It's nice to see smaller pockets of ball.
Awesome.
Well, here's the cool thing. So Meadow Lake, I know one of the coaches there for a while, and he's been doing some stuff with Twos and with I think his oldest daughter, and they've been a B organization for a long, long time, and I think they got kind of pushed up to A because they were doing some tournaments and they were playing that caliber, and so I think they kind of got told they're going to play in the A, and they went and won it. So whoever made that suggestion, whether it's Softball Sask or somebody that, you know, decided that they should be playing A, that was a good call, because yeah, really you go out and win it. That's fantastic. So,
yep. 14?
A battle. It went into extra innings, I think.
Yeah, I heard that.
The Saskatoon Lasers came out on top over the Spirit.
Yeah, Spirit again.
Yeah, so again, another traditional, I mean, obviously we're from the Melford area, right? So we always pump Melford's tires. But the fact that they have been a B organization for a long, long time as well in the last few years kind of stepped up. Yeah. You can see, you know, even in the 16s, they battled. And at that 16, I mean, sorry to get into the 16s, but let's finish the 14s first. The Lasers had a tough squad, and they've been battling all year, those teams, right? But I think it was eight innings. Did it go eight innings?
It did,
I think. And so,
I think if you listen back, maybe a cast or two, we had those teams. We predicted those teams. Like, we had the Lasers were tough, and we said Melford was going to be right in the mix too. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, Spirit program.
No, that's good. And then so 16s, talking about Melford again.
Yeah. Spirit program.
You know, they didn't, I think they went through the round robin 3-0, and then they ended up having a tough go in the playoffs, right? Which can happen.
Yeah.
The two teams that were left standing at the end were the Raiders and the Hustlers. Yep. And the Hustlers came out on top in the U16s. So,
congratulations. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, congratulations to all those teams. And
that was awesome.
You know, I can't get into the third and fourth because I'm not sure who all, you know, won all those different categories.
But I really think that, you know, the ball was good. I mean, the kids played well, but I couldn't get over. I mean, the Hustlers have a really good hitting team, and we said they had a really good hitting team. And Jordan was pitching, Butcher threw well.
Mm-hmm.
But the Raiders have some good throwers, right?
Yeah,
they do. They have some. They have some good pitching, and but man, the Hustlers! Holy cow! They probably hit. I think they hit four shots that if we would have been playing on 190 fences would have been gone.
Yeah, right?
Like, they were crushing the ball.
Well, I did get a text from Jeff saying that Wally hit a shot.
Two.
Whoa.
She smashed the ball. Yep. Yeah, she's hitting ball hard. Yeah, it was good. It was awesome. It was good to see those teams. I just saw a picture on Instagram where both teams, the Raiders and the Hustlers, took a picture together and just kind of separated by player. It was awesome. So I mean, it was great that, you know, we got provincials this year. We didn't have provincials obviously last summer because of COVID. It was so good to see the kids, and you know, it was really cool. And maybe we can go on from here. But what was really cool was the 16s got to play at BVI. They played in the stadium, and there was a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
So it was really good. And they got to play over Gallagher, you know, formerly Gordie Howe Park, which is one of the nicest parks on the planet. And it was awesome.
I got to say,
crowds, great weather.
You brought up Avery Summers, right?
Yeah.
Hitting the ball well. Because we know Avery, I'm going to dig her a little bit here. Why does it look like she's running uphill everywhere she goes?
It's a yard sale when she runs, man.
It is.
Body parts going. We got to teach that kid how to run.
Well, good thing she hits the ball so far because,
you
know, she could run however she wants, I guess.
Right? We had a buddy back in the day that played with us in Malford, Todd Rainville.
Yeah.
And Dino made the analogy. When he runs, it's like what, Dino?
Well, I don't know.
It's like throwing a cigarette into the wind.
I didn't say that.
Just blows backwards, right? And Avery, we joked with Jeff a little bit too, man. We got to teach her how to run because there's body parts going everywhere.
I do say on the critical side, everybody needs some base running work. Holy mackerel!
Like, yeah, we did. Yeah,
yeah, and that's. Yeah. I'm not talking about different programs. I'm talking about everyone. Yeah, twos, non-twos, everybody. It was kind of a little bit silly at times.
Well, I think we've talked about this before, and our guest is listening patiently before she comes on. As a country, we suck at it. Like, I just think because we don't practice it enough. Our season isn't long enough. It's hard to practice that stuff. And it's not the base running. I get the angles and all this stuff. It's reading the ball off the bat. It's that sort of thing. And I don't think we get enough reps at that. Yeah. You know, we can run in circles and we can steal bases and, you know, we can do the angles home to second, all that stuff, and teach them to touch the inside part of the bag. And, you know, the fundamentals of it, but it's the actual reading of the play. Do I go the extra base? Don't I go? Or, you know, that, and it was evident too, and we'll talk about it, it's evident even today. You know, so, but anyways.
Yep. I have a theory, Tosh, on that, and Dean. It's, you know, we don't practice it, you're right, because it's more fun to practice hitting. And pitchers want to practice pitching, and we want to rep defense. But I think, do you have any, and just your theory on this, even if we practice that skill, which I know, like with my club team, we do, not as much as we should, clearly, but in a game, you know, in a controlled setting in practice, it's like, okay, well, here's what we're going to try. But in a game, it's the panic hits immediately, and then everyone freezes as opposed to maybe being a little bit more aggressive. That's what we find for sure is you can practice it all day and say, hey, if it does this, do this. But in a game, you have to recognize that and then adjust and react. Yeah. And that's where we find that, we struggle with that for sure.
Donnie, we didn't talk too much about Tues Week, but we had Tues Week last week, and we practiced. We had a station for pitchers that practiced ground ball, check the runner at third, throw to one. Do you know how many times I saw pitchers ground ball, pick up the ball, just turn, fire to one, run, scores?
Well, probably over 50%.
I bet you, more fingers than I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you're right. Something happens in the heat of the game. It could be, you know, the excitement. You just kind of check out eventually. And you know what? The more times we do it, we're going to get it. We're going to figure it out. It just takes us a little bit longer at times, but we got to figure out a way around that.
Well, as a coaching staff, we've talked about it. How excited are we when there's a fake and you get the runner picked in a hot box? Oh, no more exciting feeling when that happens.
Yeah.
I know I'm in the minority, especially on this cast right now, but I really believe then that I don't blame it so much on the pitcher. I blame it on the infielders around because we know we have to tell pitchers what to do all the time.
There it is.
I was going to say, you're probably right. It is the infielder's fault.
Yeah, and at 11:50, we have our first Tosh, sort of a poke at Dean, and even a little bit myself on the pitching side. So 11:50 on this cast, everyone. If you had the over-under.
It's going to get you introduce the next guest. Don't worry. It's going to get worse.
Well, okay. So the beauty of this guest, so for Dean and I, we have a coach who is a pitcher who hit, and that's exciting. So Melissa Finley, welcome to the cast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, and you sat so quietly waiting for us to get through our nonsense. I really appreciate that because you could have probably logged off and come back half an hour later. We'd still be going.
Well, listen, I've coached with Tosh enough to just like in one ear out the other.
Nice.
Hey, what was the time on that one? That didn't take long at all 10 either.
Seconds.
It was 50 seconds from the intro.
What the hell? Jeez.
This feels like it might be a Tosh pylon here. I like this.
It could be.
Unusual.
Yeah, it could be gang up on you today.
Yeah. So, Melissa, please talk us through everything. Give us your start. What are you doing now? And you've got an hour. So pace yourself.
We're just going to be quiet and listen now.
Let's find out where you
because when I talk, it's in one ear and out the other anyway. No. So we're just going to sit back and listen.
You heard Tosh's feelings. Yeah. Hey, just a heads up.
No, I don't have feelings.
Yeah. It won't be the last time.
So just start with, you know, your minor days. You're from London, Ontario, correct?
Yeah.
That's my lead in. That's it.
Yeah. I got my start with the London Lightning and played there till, I want to say like 12U, 14U. I guess it was squirts. Bantam at that point. It was after that. And when I was in 10th grade, I wanted more competitive softball. So we made the trip to Toronto for me to play at Brampton. And that was tough on weeknights and leaving school, going to practice, going to games, looking at the drive. So shout out to my dad for doing that. Then went back to London for a bit and then played with Guelph my last year.
What was the drive, just for listeners, from?
2 hours.
2 hours.
Two hours one way.
And you went there how often?
Twice a week, minimum.
Yeah, so your dad miled out his car for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he have a lease? Like, do you remember the situation there? Or like,
there's no way you could get a lease.
No.
Yeah, no. No
shit. Mile out. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so then you went back to London. Where did you – I want to talk a little bit about, because we've got a lot of listeners that are either in the process of or are trying to already have recruited and have gone to play college. Can you talk us through that process a bit?
Yeah, I mean, back in my playing days, we had super competitive softball. A lot of athletes wanted to get recruited to go play in the States. And so we would kind of put together these all-star teams to go and play in tournaments in the U.S. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of that. And we went to tournaments in Florida and South Carolina, even Nebraska one time, a lot of tournaments in Michigan. And, you know, just tried to get in front of coaches as much as we could early on in the process.
Do you want to tell everyone? I could tell everyone, but would you like to tell everyone where you went?
Yeah, I went to this little school in New Jersey called Princeton.
Hmm. Wow. And that is in the Ivy League.
Correct.
So kind of, yeah, you're also Princeton. Smart, clearly.
Yeah.
I can hold my own.
She's not that smart because she's on this cast right now with us. So, I mean,
I was told she lost a bet and had to come on. Is that what happened?
That's pretty good. Yeah, man, Princeton. Maybe.
So wow. I did Google you because that's my job. So Princeton Tigers, great, great school, obviously. What'd you come out of as a degree? What'd you get?
Economics.
Ooh, tough. Mm-hmm. All right. So maybe you can find a way to make this podcast some money. Number one. Number two, all-time leader in home runs, which is deadly because Dean likes home runs too. So do I. I don't hit him as much as Dean. But, and you pitched. So a pitcher that hits bombs. That's a unicorn, we call that. That's fantastic. So your 03 season, I kind of want to go over that if we can because that was pretty memorable for you in general. So if I may, a 414 average. 12 home runs, 7-5 on the mound, and the Ivy League Player of the Year. Did you do anything else that year that might ring a bell? Because that's our segue into the next.
Anything else? Oh.
Oh, oh.
So many. I also set the single season home run record that year, but, you know.
Oh.
That one has been broken since.
That's awesome.
But, I also was able to that's when I got my start with the senior national team and participated in Pan Am Games that summer with the team.
And where were they?
In Dominican.
Ooh. Santo right. Domingo.
Yeah. Santo Domingo.
Yeah, Santo Domingo. Fun fact. And we'll get into Finner's, obviously, your coaching career. But when we put it all together, it was kind of an aha moment that the 2019 staff of Finner, Tiffany Jordans, myself, and Itzy were all at the 03 Pan Ams.
Really?
Cool. Ooh. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So is that...
Our experience, though, was vastly different than theirs in that we had beach days. We it was a little more laid back.
Is that where you rented scooters and rolled around, or was that somewhere else?
No, that was in the Virgin Islands before 09. Yeah, that was different. That was team building, Donnie.
I get it. And nothing says team building like scooter rides across.
Nothing says team building than a bunch of overweight softball players riding scooters. Eh? Nothing. Zero. But anyways, sorry. But that was a fun fact, for sure.
So Pan Am Games, good experience, I assume. How did they treat you there? In the Dominican. How was the food? I asked about the food all the time.
I mean, I remember eating a lot of chicken because that seemed safe.
Jerk chicken.
Yeah, chicken and rice. A lot of chicken and rice. And that was pretty much it. I think I even had rice for breakfast. It was... I don't remember much about the food. I remember just trying to like survive the food.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a big cafeteria, right? So it was like... Yeah, the selection wasn't huge.
Were any of the players that are playing now tonight's game, any of the players were with you in 2003?
No.
Oh my God. Here's my shot. She's way too old, bud.
Well, I'm thinking some of the...
Who's that shot at? At Mel or Dean?
Yeah, at Mel.
Oh, fire back. Yeah. Hey, can I be real? I don't think you look old at all. I think you look great, you know?
No.
So we got to build you back up. Good. Someone will bring you down. Someone will bring you up. Great. We have an up and down. It's a teeter-totter out here.
Danielle started in 2005, which was my last time there. So that was the only overlap.
Was Dion there?
No.
Because that'd be a nice segue. Allie,
though. Allie Bradley, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Allie was there.
Allie Lichty.
Allie is doing one heck of a job
on color.
Yes, color at the yep. It's fantastic. She's amazing. Really,
friend of the show.
Yeah. am I correct in assuming, is this the Allie Bradley that goes to Vegas and then I don't get
yes.
to go? Oh, very
yeah.
good.
She's
so not a friend of everyone on the show, just of a couple.
She's coached every year in Vegas, and she graciously did so our very first year and helped out because we were just starting and we were short, but she lived in Vegas and I knew Allie from the junior program, and she was awesome. Now she's home though. She's moved back to Ontario. So, but she did say if we ever need her to come to you.
That's good. Cause there's been a few people who've been on the cast who said, yeah, I'll be free in February. I'll go to Vegas too.
Yeah. Dinner. What are you doing in February?
Okay. I hope you're busy. Cause we want to trade spots. I guess I could go and hit the ground balls, but probably not a good idea.
I know by the time this podcast comes out tomorrow, right, we're going to know how the game went tonight, but
yeah.
What's predictions? I mean, obviously, I hope everybody's going to say Canada's going to win, but what do you think the scores are going to be?
Ooh.
I'm going 6-0.
5-2 Canada.
I'm going to say 5. I was going to say 5-0.
Okay. I'll go 4-0.
4-0.
Again.
What a surprise. The three pitchers pick a shutout, and Tosh assumes that something's going to go wrong.
Yeah. If they squeak it, I just see like maybe them maybe getting a couple. I don't know.
Here's the thing though. If things go as planned, and again, we're hoping they get a medal here. That'd be the first medal for Canada, which is fantastic. But they are as close as you could possibly be to not playing in the gold medal game.
For sure. And it's unreal.
Like 1-0, 1-0, 8 innings, like playing the best pitchers in the world. Like they're right there. And one not, hit, one.
Yeah. That's right.
It's frustrating, they've done an amazing job.
It was well played. It wasn't like they gave games away.
No.
Like it was just well played softball and a timely hit here or there, and that was the difference, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
To this point, though, we can all say as a nation, like I'm incredibly proud of that group. They've shown well, like they're you're right. Like they faced Abbott, and she's a star, and. Mm-hmm. They were right there. Did they have a runner thrown at the plate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, one break, that's a different game. So it's games like that you kind of hope that they have a chance to come back through. You know, if this is an ISC, they have a chance to maybe fight their way back through the bottom side and go back up. It's too bad. Cause I think they would, they're clearly there. Right.
There's good and bad about that. We've talked about this, Tosh, like the good, obviously for a team that, you know, clearly the US and Japan are, you can't say they're probably the best. They're the best. They've proved it year after year after year. But a team like Canada, Mexico, some of those 3-4 Australia, 5 teams, if you got to beat them once, you could do it. If you got to beat them 2 or 3 times, again, now you're just making it a lot tougher, right? So there are some good things about having the way it's set up now. But kind of what we've been used to is if you've been on one of those bigger clubs and you happen to stub your shrub one day, right, you still have an opportunity to play your way through and get back, you know, and win it, right? Which is so.
Well, it takes that scenario of getting hot on Sunday sort of thing, right? Where you win 2.
Yeah.
Final, blah, blah, blah. But,
did you say stub your shrub, Dino? Was that a term you used?
I did, but
I don't know if I've ever heard that before. I don't know if you might have made one up. I've never heard that before.
I'm just glad it rhymed. Usually it doesn't rhyme.
So it worked.
I just stubbed my forehead. Mm-hmm. I stubbed my forehead.
Yeah.
No. So back on track here.
Yes.
Mel, from 03, what happened next for you?
Went back to college. It was, and the Olympics were in 2004 in Athens. So the team at that point, they were, I would have had to take a year off of school to maybe possibly have a chance at that roster. But I knew looking at the roster and where I was at and the amount of work I would need to do that I probably was not going to make that cut, and decided to stay in school for that year. Mm-hmm. Hindsight, maybe not my best decision, but you never know, right?
Yeah. Well, you just don't have the, right now you've got the question of should I or shouldn't I have, right? If you would have done it, you don't have that question, but you're right. It might've been the right decision because then you got your, you know, your whole year put on hold, right? You don't want that either. So
We have talked about this with Mark, with when we've had some Olympians on as well. The amount of sacrifice that goes into competing on that team and what you have to give up and put on pause, yeah, that's a tough. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do it for sure, and not everyone has even the opportunity. So, like everyone on this cast, though, you do have a bit of a triumphant story because look where you are now. You know, every decision you made has led you here, which is good.
To this cast or to where she's coaching?
Yes,
yes. Yeah, okay.
Because
yeah,
I believe that even on her resume of all the things that we're still going to get into, you're Ivy League home run leader, Princeton, fantastic. You got an economics degree. But what you really wanted was, God, I hope these three guys start a podcast in Saskatchewan and just start to throw out ideas on softball. That's all I really want.
Yeah.
So your economics degree, we didn't read your resume before, but it did help you get on this cast. Yeah. So
It's true.
And now this is just going to propel me to the next level.
Yeah, this is a springboard, yeah.
Right on. We'll get you on Labardius's podcast. We'll get you on Peter Liu's Lepart. Yeah, there you go. Get his podcast. But so Mel, you went through as a player. Everything's fantastic. Got into coaching. Been coaching at the college level for a long, long time.
14 years.
14 years.
That old,
no, yeah. No. Well, it's a decade and a half, bud. It's a decade and a half.
A lot of our players aren't even 14 years old. So there's that.
That's right.
Wow.
But talk a little bit about how the process came about that you ended up in the national team program coaching.
Yeah, so it was around the time when I think it was announced the Olympics were coming back and they were looking for pool coaches. And I had, stayed in contact with a lot of athletes and coaches that had been around the game. And I think Coach Mel Basilio reached out to me to apply, and I did. It went well. And, you're always a little nervous or like, how can I balance this with being a college coach? How can I take time away from recruiting, things like that in the summer. But it's been the most rewarding coaching experience I've had. Being able to come back and be a part of this program as a coach means more to me than it even did as a player. Cause I was too young. I didn't really appreciate, I don't think, what it really meant back then to now. The people I get to work with, while sometimes it's grueling and long hours and you're go for weeks on end, the people that you're with and everything that I learn, and it's just so energizing to be a part of this group and inspiring. Like you said, the sacrifices the women on the senior team have made to be where they are today, like I tip my hat to them, because it's just, how can I complain about anything when they're, following their passion and doing it at a level that most people could never achieve.
Yeah, I'm watching it on TV. That's about as close as I'm going to get. And I'm enjoying it for sure. I've been staying up super late to watch. So, you're right. 100% right.
So when you you got the call, and I kind of went through the same process. So the elite team was your first, right?
Yeah, that's where they let me dip my toe.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that, because that was a pretty cool Canada Cup, because there was three Canada teams there. Which was kind of, I think it was maybe the first time that had really happened. The senior team, the elite team, and the juniors were all there. So it was pretty cool. There's a lot of red, white, and black running around the park, which was awesome. But talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, and I think my very, very first introduction was I went to a senior selection camp and just kind of like sat and observed and took notes and tried to like take it all in. And then, I was asked to coach the elite team. And I think around that time, too, is when they were really starting the push for the Olympics, getting excited for the Olympics, talking about their team culture, and really wanting that to bleed through all of the programs that were there. And so it was just really exciting for, the younger, the juniors, along with the elites and the seniors, to all kind of feel like they were a part of something bigger than themselves and really start that prideful journey.
So for the listeners out there who don't know, and then for me probably too, who clearly doesn't know, junior team, senior team, what's the elite team? How does that, where are they different?
The elite team is that kind of in between where they want to keep people in the program and keep it as a feeder for the senior team, or maybe give some younger athletes an opportunity to play who may have aged out of the junior team. So typically they are younger ish, but it's really just meant as a feeder team or a B team to the senior team.
So like the athlete pool, basically, that's they just put them. Okay. I like that. That's nice. Yeah. Let's talk about the Canada Cup where you coach with Tosh. I have a funny story about that. So please, how was your experience in Surrey coaching with Tosh? And here's your chance, by the way.
Stop saying it like that. How was your experience in
how did you deal
2019
with it all?
Team? Not just coaching.
How did you handle it? Like, how did you get through it? Give me some advice. Please.
We basically brought you on to know how do we handle Tosh? Because he's a bit of a gremlin, like you said, one ear out the other. How do we communicate with Tosh? Do we need like crayons and paper and be like to hold up signs? Or like what do you think the best way to deal with Tosh would be? Can't feed him after midnight. Don't put him in water.
Yep.
Can't ignore him.
Mm-mm. There's no way.
Honestly, I think it was a strategy to just always have ET deal with him.
He was the middleman. Yeah. All right.
Good idea.
I would just be on the other end of the dugout doing my own thing.
I've always found that if you look busy, no one will bother you. But if you're standing around, people are like, hey, what are you doing? So that's a George Costanza move. If you look busy and annoyed, everyone's like, oh, he's busy. Grab a bucket of balls and just walk around, you know? No one bothers you. I've coasted through. It's fantastic. Is that sort of stay out of Tosh's way and then you're good. You're golden.
It's tough now. She's the head coach. Right?
You can't do that.
You can't just carry buckets of balls around. You got to actually.
Well, to be fair.
Some stuff out.
To be fair.
As much as we are joking with Tosh here, I can say, here's a Tosh tire pump for you. Hopefully brought to you by a tire sponsor sometime soon. But I will say that I have learned a ton from Tosh. I haven't learned how to communicate with Tosh properly yet, where it's not a one-sided conversation. However, I have learned a ton in drills and everything. The way Tosh carries himself and commands the field, it's fantastic. So is that something – talk about that staff in general, because there's a lot of talent on that staff.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like he said, it's a fun group, you know, and if you're laughing and having a good time and also learning at the same time, it's just a great environment to be a part of. And, you know, I think we both said to each other at the very end, like, we would love to coach with each other again. So, I have great respect for Tosh and really enjoyed working for him. And, you know, I think, there's a big reason we won the medal that year, and that was his leadership. So.
Oh, see, we do this to everyone. We give him a bit of a compliment sandwich. I really like that, Tosh.
No, I'll tell you what. One of the reasons we won one of there was many things why we won that medal that year. I think there was from my standpoint anyway. Finner may not feel the same, but I felt that there was a lot of trust on that staff. There was a lot of trust in that. Itzy would. You know, if I had a hunch on a pitcher and Itzy had his opinion, then yeah, I mean, he deals with that, right? Finner handled the outfield. I didn't have to worry about them. Tiff handled the infielders. I didn't have to worry about them. So it was as a head coach in that position, I've said it before in this cast, it was one of the, I don't want to say easy, it's never easy, but it was one of the most stress-free situations I've been in that could have been really stressful. In that, because everybody on that staff did their job and we all got along well. And there was, like I said, there was a lot of trust. It was just a great experience. And we did have a good time. We had a lot of fun and we had a fun group. I mean, the kids were fantastic. We had great parents. It was just a really, really great experience coming out of that 2019 cycle. And it was a great way to, for me anyways, to end it with the junior team being involved with that. And, when I talked to Mark and he said that Finner was going to be the next coach, it was a no-brainer. I mean, she definitely is the next coach for the junior team. And it should have been her, had to be her. Because I think she brings a lot to the table in that regard, as far as the leadership piece and all that. And I mean, we saw it today, with the camp in Saskatoon. It was well run. It was organized. She did a good job, and there was no issues around what are we doing next. It was just done right. And so And I think probably with Finner, that comes from the years coaching at college. I mean, that, you know, I really feel that that is a huge advantage, is coaching in a program and having a program like that. Because you deal with it every day. It's your job.
If only this Finner person was on the podcast.
Hey, you're reading an obituary, Tosh. Let me just digress, because this is what I do.
Shit.
1 minute here. Earlier in the cast, we were talking about Tommy Boy. Tosh didn't like it. And then he brought up a bad Adam Sandler movie. And in front of my eyes, I see Dean Holein trying to quietly access a chip out of a bag, or a cookie, it seems.
Oh, it's a chip's toy.
I thought that might distract Donnie.
It did, for sure. So the key, though, is in what Adam Sandler movie does he have his child asleep and he's trying to be incredibly quiet while he watches a hockey game and he tries to reach in and grab a chip without waking up his child? His child's name was Julian. He called him Frankenstein. Dean, what's that Adam Sandler movie? No, that's not Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Yes.
Big Daddy.
So nice. Good luck me not calling you Big Daddy at tryouts. It was unbelievable. Dean, like, super stealthy, reached his hand in, could barely.
I'm hungry.
And those are great cookies, too. Yeah, and we are still looking for a Mr. Christie sponsor, so that would be nice. So we have used your product on the cast. If anyone's listening, please send it over. Dean, that was fantastic.
Hey, I have a question for Finner. Okay. You are head coach. You can create the team however you want. Say you have unlimited skills in every category. How would you build your team? Would you be like quick? Would you be big defense? Would you be big hitters, pitching? Ooh, but what question. How would you formulate your team?
Good question, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm big on, obviously you have to have the pitching, right? That's the number one thing. You're not going to win very many games if you don't have strong pitching. So building a team around that first and foremost. And then in terms of my philosophy, I'm a big offensive person. But that's a balance of speed and power. So not everybody, you know, lefty slapper quick, you know, 275 down the line, because I also want somebody to drive them home. So, and in general, just athletes, right? Finding the best athletes that I can find who are 5-tool athletes, and I can move them different positions or move them in and out and exchange. Because if we only have a 15-person roster, I need to be able to really manipulate that to the best of our advantage. So being just a 1-tool athlete or a 2-tool athlete is not good enough for this team.
So is it fair to say balance? Mm-hmm. You know, you need a balanced. I mean, Canada's roster right now, it's pretty balanced. There's a lot of quick ball players on there, eh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're quick offensively, you're going to be quick defensively too, for the most part. Right? Like, it's that foot speed, the quick twitch, you know, the power potential. Even as, you know, if you're a lefty slapper, for example, being able to, you know, lay down the bunt, but then also hit it over the outfielder's head, you know, and not letting the defense feel comfortable against you is really important.
So what I'm hearing is, if you were picking your team, you would select probably Tosh, and Dean and I wouldn't make it. With our we have a couple skills, but Tosh is the slapper. He can drive the ball mostly up the middle. He can play a few different spots. He can get down the line. Even still, we saw it recently. Tosh still has jets.
But I heard Dean is like the strikeout king.
His couple tools are huge. You know,
she said she would build around pitching first. Right?
But a pitcher who hits, Dean has that too.
Pitchers.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, and being serious, you don't always have unlimited, you know, you don't always have unlimited skills, right? So you might have to be forced to be quick, you know, slapping the ball, bunting the ball, being great defensively. You know, if you don't have the strong pitching, you're going to get lots of strikeouts. You're going to have to make sure your defense can, are wizards out there, right? So. Kind of cool.
Yeah. So to build off that a little bit, I think too, though, is finding athletes who know what their strengths are and aren't trying to be something different, right? Like if my game is hitting singles up the middle, like, and I know I can do that all day long, you trying to hit a home run all of a sudden is not your thing, right? So finding athletes who know what they're really good at and continue that strength, so then I can rely on that strength on the field, is really important.
So Finner, okay. So someone that's been in the program obviously is a player. and now in the program as a coach. So think about your 2003 team at the Pan Ams and even compare it to this team now that's playing for bronze tonight. Like, do you see differences in the game? Do you see differences in the strength of those teams? Like, what are some of the things that really stick out?
I think the technology in the game has grown immensely. Just the data and the scouting and that sort of thing. Like, when we were going play at the Pan Ams, we didn't have scouting reports, really, like basic of what we saw, but we weren't sitting there watching film of other pitchers or anything like that. So, you know, I think that's definitely improved. And I think just the general commitment to more specific fitness. So like softball specific lifting and conditioning and nutrition and hydration and all of that, like doing everything that you can to be at your peak athletic performance when you need to be. For us, like, we knew we had to be in shape, but it's a completely different kind of shape now.
I swear to God, to all 28 listeners out there, I swear to God that that's it wasn't a canned answer. But I'm happy that you brought that up, because that is one of the things that we talked about too, is fitness levels of the players. I mean, yes, your Olympic team, absolutely, they should be the epitome of fitness, no question. But you can't walk onto the Olympic team or the junior team or a provincial team or an A team or a college team and just get fit. You have to be in that condition, I think, to give yourself a chance to start to play at these levels. And yes, then it does kick up a notch for sure. But I just find that athletes right now, I don't think they're giving themselves the best chance when it comes to that. We all work on hitting and pitching and taking our ground balls or whatever, but I don't think we work enough on strength and conditioning.
Well, which is why our program is doing more of that this year.
Tryouts. Yeah, no, I agree. But it's not even, yeah, it's right. Like it, but I mean, I think it's something, because even, you know, Dino, even when we first started with the men's program, it wasn't part of it. And then as we get into 2009, and I think maybe Smitty was looking down the road going, I'm a bunch of old guys on this team. You know, we got to get in better shape. That's when beep tests came in and fitness testing and all this different stuff. It wasn't there before per se, but they became a big part of it. And I didn't, you know, do much throughout my career until then, until you had to keep my fat ass on the team. Then I started to do that. But I noticed a huge difference in my play. My hands got quicker. My feet got quicker. And I was like, geez, you know, what if I had done this 10 years ago? Right. You know, so I hope that kids listen to this and take that as good advice to, you know, we don't want them going out there pushing 15 plates on one side, but we definitely want them doing something.
7.5 on each side would be seven better, and right, Donnie?
That's good. Right. That's plenty. Tosh,
you put 15 plates on one side, that's not
balanced.
Not good advice.
No.
That would be each side. Yeah.
Tosh pump number two. I guess if you had done all those things 20 years earlier, you'd be in the Hall of Fame. You'd play for the national team. You'd be in the IC Hall of Fame. So all the things you already did. You might have been a little better. But it's pretty hard add on. How many more Halls of Fame do you want to be in, bud? How many yachts can you water ski behind?
No, stop it.
All right.
I don't think that's the point.
I was trying to make another joke at Tosh. Yeah,
I'm trying to help. I agree. No, but the thing is, that just shows where our level is at now, right? Like, back when Finner was getting in, I'm sure a lot of the details and the stuff that the work ethic, and I'm sure there's work ethic, but the stuff that they're put through now is completely different than what we would have went through back, you know, when we were going through what we had to go through, right? Mm-hmm. I think I broke a record on the beep test.
You did, actually.
Yeah.
First one out?
No, I landed on a record and broke it.
Yeah, he physically broke
it. Fell into the corner.
It was a cassette tape. And broke it. I don't even think it was a CD. It was a cassette tape of the beep test.
It was not good.
He fell on the, here comes the ghetto blaster.
Wow. Yeah.
And he broke it.
Yeah. No, it wasn't good.
Just after that, he alley-ooped Lolly.
Smitty hates me.
And separated his shoulder because they thought they just play a little basketball. Yeah, that was good.
We'll tell that story, because Lolly, we're going to get Lolly and Healy on here in the next little while. Yeah, and we'll go over that story. That's a good one. Yeah.
Well, I have a bit of a boring question, but I actually do want to know the answer. So you did talk a lot about film and how much film you watch. Talk about how you walk through all the film and then break it down and then give it piecemeal to your players, or do you make them watch the whole thing like you do, or do you kind of show them what they need to see? Because you could dissect film for days. So how do you go through the film process to give them the pieces they need?
Yeah, in when I'm in college, and I don't, you know, I haven't necessarily done that part with the junior team yet, but we try and just show them what they need to see. There's no point really. I mean, unless it's like a specific infield play or something like that we need to go over, but I'll, you know, cut down their film to their at bats, and we have like, we use Google folders, and I just drop it in each individual folder and away we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's tough. Like, I don't know if you're going to have the Godfather, if you're going to have Bolsey with you or not, when you go, but I mean, Bolsey does that for us. He clips a lot of at bats. He does that. He did it for us with the senior team back in the day too. But, you know, I know that, I know Trev went through a bunch of stuff, right, with the pitchers on hitters, and had the catchers in there, and it was awesome. And so it's starting. It's just, I think it's a little tougher with the junior team, especially if they're not used to it. They don't really know, you know, what to do with the information sometimes. Although Benny sure did. She did an awesome job for us, but, yeah, I think it's a great, you know, using technology to our advantage is awesome. And when you can have that and you don't use it, I mean, it's just a waste. But it was fantastic having Bolsey around all those years.
Well, another point though, Tosh. Sorry, Melissa, cut you off. Another point is, if you're not using it, you got to know that everyone else is using it. So you're behind. Sure. You have to now at least be doing what everyone else is doing, and then find ways to supplement that. Yep. But now that brings us into a good segue. Where are you guys at now? What's your process look like? What's the future, like 6-3 months look like for you and your program?
So we're doing the ID camps right now. We're doing those over the next 2 weeks. So did Saskatoon today. We were in Winnipeg today as well. Then we go to Ontario for the rest of the week. Then we're in Montreal on Monday and BC for the rest of the week next week. So at the end of that, we're doing a final selection camp in BC after that. And we're still waiting on final confirmation for when the Worlds are going to be. They've had to postpone it quite a few times. So hopefully we'll get that rolling.
Not many people can say they've been in Saskatoon and Winnipeg in the same day with a smile on their face. So that's a tip to you for sure. How did the camp go today? Do you want to?
Coach Daniel Lee was the one running the water.
You don't have to talk too much about specifics, but how did the camp go today? I know Tosh had mentioned that, you know, when you're running things, it's really smooth. How did it go? Walk us through that. How many athletes did you have? What were you looking for?
Yeah, there were 23 athletes, and we wanted to get a good idea of, okay, what are their measurements in terms of certain specific skill sets that we look for, the gold medal profile, and then how do they compete? How do they, what's their game IQ like? How are they base running, right? We talked a lot about our base running is not fantastic. But I think, you know, overall, I was really impressed with the talent. I think there's a great balance there between, you know, some of the older kids really did step up, and you could tell that they were older and more seasoned. And then there's a lot of young kids that were there that I think have a ton of potential that are going to keep growing and developing, especially, you know, with the coaches here. So I was pretty impressed with what I saw today.
So given that you said 2 weeks you're on the road at camps, IDing kids, what, after that 2 week period, what is the time between then to when you start making decisions?
So we're making rolling decisions throughout these 2 weeks who will come to the final ID camp. There's going to be 26 athletes invited to that final camp. And that's from the end of the BC camp to when that starts is about 3 days. And then, you know, Allison Bradley, who's booking all the flights, is going to have a fun time doing that for those 3 days. And then after that, we're still working through that. When are we going to make any kind of final selection? And I would like to know when the Worlds are to start setting that timeline for what that looks like. You know, it's kind of a moving target with COVID right now.
With that being said, obviously, you know, you have to wait to hear when they are, when you can go. But at least, and now we've talked about the program even, it seems like restrictions are lifted or starting to lift enough that you can start to travel as a group. You can get a look at everybody all at once as opposed to 10 here, 6 here, 5 there. That's got to make it a lot easier for you and your staff to start evaluating them as a group as opposed to in tiny pockets. Is that important to you and your staff? And I know it's a rhetorical question, but I kind of want to hear your thoughts on it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I was kind of joking earlier today, but it's true that we have rescheduled these ID camps at least 5 times, trying to get them done because it is important to try and have as many athletes there so that we can play a game and get to see the competition, you know, and how they compete. And you can't do that if there's only 5 or 6 athletes allowed on a field at a time or in a certain pod. So, and then being able to see them almost back to back and getting those comparisons in real time is important too. So I'm happy we're able to get these in now. And then, yeah, like you said, hopefully things keep trending in the right direction and we can do, you know, our plan is to stage before Worlds in Florida and then travel to Peru. So, as long as we don't have to quarantine, that makes that a lot easier.
Well, and I think too, it's got to be a good feeling knowing you actually get to see your athletes before you get on a plane this time. Right. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the team that Mel coached in the qualifier was basically picked through video and scouting because we were at Worlds and the team had to be named for the next. So Mel basically showed up with a whole bunch of athletes she really didn't know. She had some carryover of some kids that, you know, were on the 2019 team. But other than that, she was going in pretty blind. So I imagine that this is, you know, you got to see some kids play, obviously, but now getting to see everybody across the country, that's got to be a refreshing thing, I would say.
Well, to take a phrase that Tosh does love to use, best on best, which he's used several times in a few casts. But, I mean, you're right. When you've got smaller pockets, you want to see how these athletes compete in the top 25 against each other at the highest level there is. Because we've seen it. Everyone's seen it. Every coach in any level has seen it. You can show really well in a smaller group and things stand out. But when everybody's there, how's everyone performing? And that's a big, big move for your staff for sure. Exciting. Very excited to see what you guys come up with.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah. And, you know, inevitably, we probably missed some kids when we went to Colombia because we couldn't be everywhere, see everything. We didn't have that large tryout process, just the way the scheduling worked out. So, well, we did very well. We had a great team. I don't want to diminish that.
No.
But, you know, I'm happy that we're able to do this process now this year and get out to more provinces and get to see a lot more athletes this time.
Yeah, awesome. For sure.
Awesome.
That is great. Okay, so we are getting up to an hour, if you can believe that. Most of our banter has carried us through this hour, and I appreciate it. We want to get into what we like is our favorite. Parting shots, we talked to you offline. You get to go last. So you can sort of see how we navigate it. I'm going to start with Dean.
Donnie, thanks.
You bet.
Well, first, before I get into it, I want to thank Mel for being on here, and for two, good luck, you know, first go around, really, you know, so wish you all the luck there. We'll be following along, cheering you on. But I want to ask you a question. How long have you had OCD?
And there it is.
No, I'll spell it out for you. Okay. So from a guy that is very detailed and goes crazy if things aren't in their place, this is what she had today. So we had 8 innings of scrimmage. We have 9 positions out there. She had every person in the camp in a different, like in the position, so they knew exactly where they were going every inning. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is impressive. Yeah.
Everybody knew exactly where they're going, whether they, you know, if they're playing their first position or second position or whatever. Cause usually, you know, I know how it works. I mean, usually with us, it's make sure where the onus is getting on the kids, right? Make sure you guys get in your primary positions and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But Mel, that was fantastic. I loved it. It's like when you do your bank booking. It's not, I don't do a bank book at the end, but you know how you do your banking. And then the very, very last, everything equals out and the dollars and cents equal. And it's just like, right? Cheer. That's exactly how I felt when I went through the list of players and I saw every inning, everybody went, everybody. It was fantastic. So yeah. How long?
I mean, as long as I can remember. You don't become an economics major without
there you go.
That. Like, yeah.
All right.
I don't want to say like over, yeah, over prepared, over, right? Like, and I efficiency is probably my main goal. Like, if I'm at the field, I want to be efficient, get done what I need to get done, see what I need to see, no fluff.
Awesome. Fantastic.
To build on that a bit, though, before you go, Tosh, okay. But to build on that a little bit, I know with the program that we're involved in, there's a lot of times we've said we have to build an outfielder because everyone shows up and wants to play short or third or pitch or catch. And that's just for us. It could be different other places. But you'll find out who those athletes are when you say, hey, your primary position second and third. You're going to stand in right. I want you to know, how do they react? How's their ball IQ? Do they know where they got to go? Are they hitting the cuts? You'll find out pretty quick who are the ones that can adapt on the fly and the ones who are going to sort of think, oh, I don't belong out here. So I think that's a great idea. OCD or not, great idea.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, she's coached with me, so it must have drove you crazy a little bit sometimes because I am not as detailed as, say, Dino. Like, we battle on that stuff all the time where I'm like, oh, we'll figure it out. What? He hates that. So it must have drove you a little crazy. I didn't realize you were that, like, I was coaching with Dino. I didn't know that. Another Dino. Yeah.
No, yeah. When I'm not in the driver's seat, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. I just go with the flow and do what I'm told. And if it's almost nicer that way, because then I don't have to stress and worry about that part.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome.
Tosh?
My turn. Okay. This one's a little bit kind of off because these people are two of the nicest people I've ever met. But I'm calling them out. They cheated today. They tried to cheat today. Mm. So we're playing the scrimmages, right? And so of course, Mel and Trev are doing their thing, and Dino's helping Trev with the pitchers. So the remaining four helping coaches are going to coach bases for the scrimmages. So it's not my first rodeo. I want to pick teams. So I went through and we selected our teams and blah, blah, blah. So, and I took Morgan Green, actually Tu's alumni kid. And she is Karen Thal's mentee for the Women in Coaching Mentorship Program with Supple Canada. So it's awesome. Like, it's fantastic. Yeah, she's out there. It's fantastic. On the other side of the field, we have Karen Thal, who's the Team Sask head coach, you know, also coaching with Dino, and Nevada Smith. So another, you know, accomplished coach in that she's on the Canada Games staff and whatever else. So it's me and the rookie against two, you know, kind of vets for sure. And we come out of the gates hard. Like, we scored two like that, like right now, right? Our team is on fire. It was probably the pregame speech that got them going, but, you know, I can't take all the credit. So we scored two right off the rattle. And was it an inning or two after that? They get three. And I'm not disputing they got three, but we're switching the scorebook back and forth in between innings, and Karen's coming across the field. And Dino or Trev, I can't remember who said, what's the score? She goes, 3-1. I said, what? It is not. She goes, we're winning 3-1. I said, you're winning 3-2. No, it's 3-1. No, it's not. It's 3-2. I know we scored two runs. Again, not huge on detail, but I know when my team scores runs. Okay, so whatever. I'm not thinking about it. They score a couple more. And then we just finally decided it was time to pull the trigger, and we just started putting the boots to them. And I don't know if we scored 50, Donnie, So it was 11. It was 11, whatever the score was. And then Karen comes back with the book. And Morgan Green is the one that came to me first and said, hey, by the way, they admitted that it was actually 3-2. They had made a mistake. And I was like, remember Coming to America? One of the most famous lines. Aha! Aha! Right? The light bulb went on, and I knew it. So my parting shot, I know that story was a little long, but my parting shot is to Karen Thal and Nevada Smith. They're cheaters. Cheater, cheater, pants on fire. Like, brutal.
Okay, like, so I'm going to add to that.
Okay.
Everyone knew it was 3-1. We just did that for you. Because your head was spinning off your body.
Everyone knew it was 3-2.
Yeah, no, sorry. Everyone knew it was, everybody knew it was 3-2, but we just said it was 3-1.
Well, then why did they tell me they cheated? That they came to me and said, well, no, sorry, we made a mistake.
Because we liked, you're just freaking right out. Your head was spinning, and you're walking back, you're mumbling to yourself, kicking dirt. That's why we did it.
Okay, you already had your shot. And yeah, okay. All right.
Good.
So part B of that shot then is to all y'all for doing that. What the hell? I'm just out there trying to help the kids. That's all I'm trying to do. Trying to help the kids be successful. It's a pressure situation. I'm trying to land them a little bit of expertise, calm them down a little bit. And what are you guys doing? You're trying to wind me up. So shame on you.
It just landed on her lap.
Well, we'll talk offline about a prank that was played on me by you and Dean and Razor.
What's that?
Oh, we'll talk offline. It's not for public consumption yet. We'll get into it. But I do know that this is a group that does enjoy.
Oh, dude, there was way more moving parts than what was happening today to get you.
Oh, I know.
There was so many moving parts on that.
They pulled the curtain back on me last week, and I admitted while I was like having a ulcer. It was nice to hear that it was all just a ruse, because it was a 4-month prank.
That's the whole town of Bonneville was in on it.
Yeah,
if you'd gone up there and talked to somebody and mentioned that name, they would have said, "Hey, yeah, I heard she's not playing for you next year." That's exactly what would have gone down.
So just so you guys know, I've had some sleepless nights. Now I felt better now. Everything's fine. But that is a prank that I have to admit, it goes down in history. Now, I don't really have a shot, and I'm going to take the high road here. But we talked a bit offline about, Mel, when you were with Tosh in Canada Cup, Tosh allowed my U16 team to come take batting practice. So the backstory is this. We have an off day, or we don't play till 8 at night. And the girls are like, "Oh, I'm excited. We get to go to White Rock. We can do whatever we want." No, we got a practice set up. No, a lot of complaining. And we're going to some diamond that is 40 minutes from our hotel. And all the girls are disappointed. And we park in this parking lot, and there's nobody around. We start hauling our bonehets out, and all of a sudden, the sea of red comes out of the trees, almost like Field of Dreams, out of the cornfield. This group comes out, and what my girl said, which is ridiculous. "Donnie, you booked the diamond. We didn't even get it. These guys are already here." And I'm like, no, we get to practice with Team Canada. And the faces on the kids were unbelievable. And to see even just batting practice, the effort and how they play defense when people are hitting, and that just the communication, it was nice to have that. And unfortunately, we felt lucky to get it. Not everybody gets to see that exposure to see what it takes to be at that next level. But every one of the kids, and I still have a picture. You talked about the Hustlers and Raiders getting a one by one. Everyone kind of split up. I have that picture on my phone. It was one of the greatest memories I've ever had. So I wanted to thank you for allowing a fledgling fastball team from the Border City to work with you, and it was awesome, great experience. The only complaint we got was Trevor Ethier throws a very heavy batting practice ball, whether you like it or not. It's not fun. So, but thank you for that. Thank you for coming on the cast. You were a great guest. We wish you the best of luck. And now you get to choose which road you're taking. The floor is yours.
no guilt trip there.
It's stressful. Tosh, you were talking earlier about movies and, you know, how much you don't like Tommy Boy and some Adam Sandler movie. Like, do you like any movies or?
Why? I'm going to say something and I'm going to get caught in a trap. Yes, I like movies. Okay, go.
Okay. Well, I mean,
Tommy Boy?
I haven't seen you now in almost 2 years, like with COVID, and it's been really great to see you and work with you again. And you just, but like, you're cranky old man. And you're getting rid of your facial hair.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know if you're trying to overcompensate by trying to look younger or something by getting rid of that or what. You're still a cranky.
You can pretty much take Papa's head off, turn it upside down, stick it back on top again. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's the same.
It's not working.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Bite awesome. Me, Finner. Bite me.
No.
Yeah. No, that was good. That was really good. Yeah. Awesome. Finner, thanks for coming on.
Yes.
Man. That was it was fantastic. So great having you here. Like, it was so great having you here because one of my favorite people in the game, and we did have a blast, and those kids in the next go around and further beyond are so lucky to have you at the helm, and I know you guys are gonna do really well. So all the best to you guys in your process.
Finner, are you gonna be busy in February?
Well, I guess on COVID, but
yeah, there you go.
As long as everything's back online, I'll be in preseason. So
yeah,
hope I'm in preseason.
So we have a cast that goes all the way through, and I don't get my spot offered to Vegas. All right. I'm really sorry you're busy, but best of luck. Fantastic.
In February.
Well, all the time.
Wait, what were the dates? Maybe I can become
a I don't remember.
Yeah, you could just flip over. Yeah, just flip over. That'd be good. Awesome. Great job. Thanks, Finner. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.